The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Once again, another week on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Today we're going to be visiting with one of the nuns, a Sister of Mercy at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That is Sister Tanya. We have some moral support from Sister Eve Marie, who's just going to hold hands and make sure that you got some good support. Sister Tanya, first of all, welcome to The Rock, AM 1260.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful to be here.
How'd you get drafted into this?
I was just asked by one of our superiors to kind of come on and share my vocation story. So,
well, when the boss says go, you go, right?
Yes.
Which kind of leads into maybe an intro to a vocation. The boss, God, called you. Tell me about your vocation story.
Yes, he did. I'm originally from Boca Raton, Florida. So growing up, I mean, I always went to church on Sunday with my family, and I was involved in the parish there, either in choir, like the children's choir. As a teenager, I was altar serving and helping out there. And then it wasn't until college, though, that I had, you know, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that was more than, you know, just my prayers at night or just going to Mass on Sunday in like a very superficial relationship. I mean, I always had a close relationship with God, but it wasn't as deep. And that's because in college, I found the reasons for my faith. And, you know, my faith became my own because you're on your own for the first time. So you're deciding for yourself, is this what I believe in? Is God truly with me? And how is he, you know, with me? And what am I made for? What am I created for? You start asking all these questions for the first time. And so in college, I started asking these things, and my parents invited me to go to the Catholic ministry there. It's called the Catholic Gators at the University of Florida. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, Mom and Dad, I'm not going to go. You know, I'm in college now, which just the emptiness that you feel in the things of the world. I knew I wasn't satisfied. And so my parents kept pushing me to go get involved in the Catholic Gators, and I finally said, okay. And I went, and I just saw, you know, young adults who were on fire for their faith and loved Jesus and knew why they loved Jesus, and their lives were different. And I'm like, that's what I want, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was also, you know, a cute guy, so I kept coming back. but that was just an excuse. I really just totally found God's love. And there was a culture of discernment. And so I was like, discernment, what's that? You know, I had never heard that I could be called to religious life. I you know, watched movies of sisters or heard about sisters, but never knew that I could be a sister. And so for the first time, I was asking that question, you know, God, are you calling me to be a sister? That led to 4 years of asking God if this is what he wants me to do, learning that God doesn't want me for what I can do. Like, he wants to love me. And so a vocation is not what I could do for God, but to be in a relationship of love with him. And so it's a deeper calling from that initial vocation to love, being in that union with God. Through that, I hear his call to religious life. And so I really had to learn to let Jesus love me in college and stop trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And my senior year of college, through multiple deep encounters of God's love, I was able to not forego a career in broadcast journalism, but to answer God's call after graduation. And so I graduated in the spring of 2017. I went home for the summer, and then at the end of the summer, I entered with our sisters.
What was that summer like?
Difficult. It was difficult because I was, in a sense, alone. Not alone because God is always with me, but alone with my thoughts or alone in the world when I knew my heart wasn't in the world. Like, my heart was with God in the convent, and I was in this period of waiting and transitioning, which has its own difficulties, you know, because you're stuck with your temptations or all of these things in your head. But it was definitely a call to deeper trust of, like, all right, I'm going to meet God in this, and He is going to give me the strength to give answer or to remain steadfast in my decision amidst the temptations or the difficulty of, you know, saying goodbye to family and all these things that, you know, could be very difficult.
The Sisters of Mercy, I saw, have basically a life, the website says, really centers on the Blessed Sacrament. God is the anchor of the day. I looked at the daily schedule, a lot of prayer there, but also work with teaching and the kids and all that at Mount Carmel. The prayer, does that help you to cross from saying prayers to talking with God?
Well, the more that you say it, the more that you enter into it. So think of the rosary. You know, it's a very repetitious prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you can feel like, oh, I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. But it's meant to bring you into deeper meditation. So when we're saying the Psalms every single day through the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, we're not just saying these Psalms, but we're entering into these Psalms. We're entering into the prayer of the church. That is not only the prayer of the church. Yes, it's the prayer of the church. It's also the prayer of Jesus, you know. And so we're entering into the power of prayer and into meditating more deeply upon the life of Christ and the life of the church. And so first, you know, as initial stages of formation, you're just learning how to pray these prayers. But then you're also learning what they mean and how praying the prayers of the church changes you also. So God willing, if we're truly praying, we're changed and we're transformed. And that's the whole life of Christ. That's the liturgical life, you know. So Mass and everything is not just going to stand and to kneel and to sit and to listen and all the stuff. It's I'm kneeling because I'm recognizing the presence of the Lord. And all these different movements have deeper meanings. And so the more that I allow it to transform me and to enter more deeply, the more that I'm transformed into greater union with Jesus and the church.
When you entered with the sisters, is that like stepping on the accelerator in your life of prayer?
Oh, yes.
By sharing with them? And
I feel like I've learned what it means to pray. Each of our vocations is essentially God's saving action in our lives. And so God brought me here, and I found God more deeply. I found who He is and who I am more deeply. And that's what it's supposed to do. That's what our vocations are supposed to do. And so entering into the life of prayer of our community, like we say that we're contemplative of active, because a lot of our day is centered around Jesus in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be in order to bring Jesus in the Eucharist to the world and the world to Jesus in the Eucharist. We can't bring Jesus to others if we don't know and if we're not filled with Jesus first. So we say that we become Eucharist and then bring the Eucharist to the world and the world to the Eucharist. And that's the flow of our day, and it's the flow of liturgy and the flow of our lives, you know, to come to be rooted in God, to bring God to the world and the world back to God.
Sister Tanya, stay right there. We're going to be back after a commercial on God Calling, AM 1260 The Rock. We're back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Today, we're with Sister Tanya of the Mercedarian Sisters, serving at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And Sister, I notice many of the names, chosen names of the nuns, Sister Tanya, and then there's of this or that. I've seen a bunch of them. Yours is what?
Sister Tanya of the Heart of Jesus.
Explain that to me.
Yes. So upon profession, which is the first profession of vows that we have, that we profess, you know, we profess poverty, chastity, and obedience for the first time, and we are consecrated to God. We are allowed in our community to petition to take on a name or a title. So some of our sisters, like Sister Eveline, took on the title or the name Marie. So Sister Eveline Marie. I was praying before profession for God to reveal to me what He mm-hmm. wanted me to be called. And so in my pride and my desire, I was like, Sister Tanya of the consuming fire of God, or Sister Tanya of the living flame of love. Like, I wanted something, like, you
flashy,
know, amazing
yeah.
like that. In my prayer, I just kept hearing from I mean, from other people through different things that were going on, Sister Tanya of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I was like, oh, no, like, come on. You know, that's so typical for a sister. And I was at this conference. It's called Unbound. And they were praying over us. And they said, if there's anything you want to, like, be prayed for, to ask. And so I asked, you know, I would love to have, if God is saying a certain name, to be revealed to me, mm-hmm. to let me know. And we were praying, and they said that they just saw the heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in a white box, and lilies and divine mercy rays. And I was like, oh, man, like, I, you know, I can't get away from the Sacred Heart.
Keeps coming back.
And through different instances, it was revealed to me that, like, God was, he was proposing to me with his heart. Like, he was giving me his mm-hmm. heart. What more could I want than the heart of Jesus? That reveals to me that he loves me no matter what, that he's calling me into intimacy with him to bring the truth of his love and his mercy to the world. That is such a gift. And so now I'm like, thank you, Lord, for loving me in this way, you know, that I didn't think I wanted it, but I truly did want, you know, his heart. And so the names that we receive, that we ask if we can take on, you know, reveal in a particular way of God's unique love for each one of us, but also, you know, what we are called to bring to this world, like our message.
It's a very personal experience, but also comes through a lot of discernment and prayer and a vision.
Yes.
Of the heart in the white box. Right? Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. You enter in a formation house, and then later on you're fully professed. Tell me a little bit about the formation house.
Sure. So each community is kind of different. And so with our community, we have postulancy is 1 year, and then novitiate is 2 years. And then we have first profession of vows for as little as 3 years. We take these temporal vows and we renew them every year until final profession. But we say, like, in our formation, that the first time we profess vows, you know, we're professing for life. Like, we're going with the intention that this is for life. Like, we're committing to God, and we're not committing and then being like, oh, maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. In the church's mercy, the church allows for us to make a decision to renew or not to renew. But in the commitment of giving our lives to God, that's like marriage, you know, it's once for life. And so we really pray with that intention so that mm-hmm. we are giving everything to God in that time.
And where do you stand right now?
Right now, so I made first profession of vows on August 15th, 2020. And now I'm just in that time period of learning what it means to truly be the bride of Christ. And not just the bride once at the wedding day, but the wife, and to learn how to love God and bring his love more deeply to the world, because everything I am now is consecrated to God. And yes, before information, we're living with that intention, but now it is confirmed by the church and it is consecrated.
Mm-hmm. And I also read through all the prayer, it gives the sisters the graces to more fully serve others. And so through that strength that you get through the prayer, that takes you over into the school and teaching and the ministries there. Tell me about Mount Carmel and the school.
Yes. So the school is pre-K 3 to 8th grade. And thanks be to God, our school is, you know, one of the top in Cleveland academically, but also just the gift that the students have in the presence of religious there. Our mother foundress was centered on the Eucharist, and she wanted to bring young people to know the love of Jesus in the Eucharist and redeem them that way. And so she said during the religious persecution in Mexico that faith was being taken out of all the subjects of the sciences and mm-hmm. everything. But she wanted to show the kids and teach the kids that God is at the center of everything. So our teachers, our sisters, everyone focuses their lesson plans on how is God in this, and from there, creating their lesson plans to teach. And our students are brought to Jesus in the Eucharist through different events and things that we have at the school, and just really cultivating that presence of Jesus in their lives, because they need to know, especially in this world, you know, that they are children of God, and that he is a part of every moment of their lives, and to encounter the love of God in the Eucharist.
You've been there a fairly short time, but the neighborhood's changing. A lot more Hispanic. Have you had to learn Spanish to communicate with some of the folks? Or?
So our community is actually originally from Mexico.
Right.
So some of our sisters are fluent in Spanish. We're kind of learning at the same time. but very basic Spanish skills. I mean, we have many different cultures at our school. So just being able to learn what we can, and even the gift that it is to have sisters who speak fluent Spanish.
You know, the neighborhood, it's a melting pot. It's Cleveland.
Yes,
and
it
that's a little bit of everything in Cleveland, Ohio. In any case, we're going to be back with you for a final segment. This is a joy. Stay with us on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be right back. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and our topic today, the Mercedarian Sisters, Sister Tanya. Sister, tell me about the order worldwide and here in the United States, and obviously at Our Lady of Carmel on Detroit.
Yes, so our sisters are in 13 different countries around the world. There's like 500, and we are just bringing Jesus in the Eucharist, where we say like to evangelize with Mary in the light of the Eucharist. To bring primarily young people to know Jesus in the Eucharist, and through that, redemption happens. The Order of Mercy, the Mercedarian Friars, are all about redeeming captives with a fourth vow. They give of their lives in place of Christian captives. That's when they were founded in like 800 years ago. And so our mother foundress, when she was starting our community in Mexico in 1910, the bishop was like, we don't need another teaching order. So he sent a Mercedarian friar to come check us out. The Mercedarian friar said, these sisters are different. They're not just teaching. They're using teaching as a means to bring Jesus in the Eucharist to the children. Our mother foundress saw the redemptive aspect of the Mercedarian friars, and she said, that's what we're doing, but through the Eucharist. So like I said earlier, first we become Eucharist, and then we're able to redeem young people and their families, and through the Eucharist, by bringing them to know Jesus in the Eucharist. So what does that look like today? Well, yes, primarily teaching. So we have a lot of different schools throughout the world, but it's not limited to that. Some of our sisters have orphanages. We have a prayer and healing center in Louisiana. And so we work with cancer patients and people who are really at the last moments of their life. And so we bring them to know God and the healing power of God through the Eucharist. We are on a college campus in Gainesville, Florida. Around the world, some of our sisters are working at a seminary. There's just different ways in which we're living out that call.
And you mentioned something earlier that was interesting, and that is the conflict, I suppose, people say, between science and religion. And we're reading a book at my parish called The Search, and they talk quite a bit about all of these early scientific discoveries that people try to use to say there is no creative force. They're all Galileo or Copernicus was a priest. All those early scientists were all priests, so it strengthens the belief that there is a creator, there's a plan, as opposed to weakening it, as we're hearing more and more often today. And that's troubling to a lot of folks, I suspect you.
Yes. I mean, faith and reason are supposed to work together. Everything of our lives, being Catholic, it's like mind, body, and soul, you know, all of it together. If we start taking one of those things out, we limp. We aren't fully understanding who we are and who we are created to be. And so God has given us the gift of science, and he's given us the gift of all these things that we experience in the world in order to more fully understand who he is and who we are in his image. Taking God out of the picture, we're missing the mark, and we're not able to know the fullness of truth, and then everything else kind of just falls.
On your website, four words come up: joy, gratitude, charity, and humility.
Those are the characteristics of a Mercedarian sister of the Blessed Sacrament. Hopefully, God willing, that if we are truly living out our call as Mercedarian sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, that these are the characteristics that are noticeable, that we give off, for lack of a better term. So our sisters, in living this call to be one with Jesus in the Eucharist, joy, gratitude, humility, and charity.
Charity.
Yes. Sorry. All these things should be emanating from us. Other people should be able to notice this. All these characteristics are, you know, characteristics of Christ, characteristics of our faith. And living out our faith, all these should become natural to us, and not without struggle and without fraternal correction and a constant striving and purification. Because, I mean, it doesn't happen like that. And I think, I mean, for myself especially, I'm like, I want to be perfect already, and I want to be, you know, a saint, and I want to be there or wherever I imagine holiness to be. But the reality of holiness is in my brokenness, in my weaknesses, encountering Christ. And with him, I am holy, and he redeems me. And not even that it's something I can achieve, because it's God's grace, but he's working with our natural abilities, you know, our God-given things that we already have. And so in conjunction together, like, I'm able to become virtuous. I'm able to have all of these characteristics.
We talked some earlier about all of the time spent in chapel and prayer. And what is the grand silence?
The grand silence is at night. Once we finish night prayer is at 8 o'clock typically with us. And then we go into grand silence, which is just a period of silence throughout the whole community to kind of realize that now our day is settled down and just to be in this period of silence and prayer and intimacy with our Lord and to end our day with our beloved and to leave our last words, our last thoughts with him more deeply and intimately in the quiet. And we observe that silence as a respect to our sister's own relationships with God, as a respect to our own relationship with God, and just to have that disposition until the morning when we pray again. So we end our days with prayer and we begin again praising God and to just enter into that.
How enriching is it to do that with the sisters, with a group?
It's pretty incredible just to have this witness and communal aspect. It's such a gift because we can't be holy alone. Like we need others to call us higher, to tell us that, oh, you know, we've fallen short in this place, to know that someone is looking out for our best interest, to be completely for God and all that I'm called to be. I can't see myself objectively, you know, just my own eyes. That's why we need spiritual directors. That's why we need a community of faith to build us up, to encourage us when things are hard. And to have all of these women with the same goal in mind striving together, that's powerful. And that is so encouraging and so amazing. I would not be who I am today without my sisters. I know that 100%. And I am so thankful and humbled by their witness and to enter into all these moments together and to hear how God is working in their lives. Like, that is such a gift.
The thing that's interesting about your order is that you're right there at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So open for Mass in the morning and on Sundays as well, right?
Yes.
People can just come on down and visit, right?
Yes, they are more than welcome to come to our parish. We have the Mercedarian Friars. There are three priests, and they are so dedicated, and it's so beautiful. They're a witness of God's love. And so there's daily Mass every day at 6:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and then various Sunday Masses. And they can find all of that online, Our Lady of Mount Carmel West.
In all of the orders, I guess it's the new century. Here we go. A lot of stuff online. Tell me again the address online.
So for the Mercedarian Sisters, it's mercedariansisters.org. And there you can find all about our community. And we're even on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. So you can search us there and just find out more about our life and just messages of God's love. And then our parish is olmccleveland.org. Or just search Our Lady of Mount Carmel West.
All right.
And you'll find more information.
Sister Tanya, thank you very much. A Mercedarian sister. We're happy you were here. Thanks for joining us. This is Paul Orlowski. We will be with you again a week from right now.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the archive audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.